Alcohol and Jesus, can you serve both? As we consider this question, let's turn to the Bible for our answer. Matthew 6:24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." The first line tells us that man cannot serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. The biblical answer to the question is an obvious no, but for me, that wasn't always the case. I drank my first sip of alcohol at the age of 13. Like a fish hooked to a line, helpless and doomed, I became addicted to this new idol in my life. Everywhere I went, I would attempt to have my older friends or acquaintances get me a drink. My parents did not approve, so I kept it a secret to the best of my abilities. By the age of 16, I had a steady stream of friends who would buy whatever I wanted. The wages I made from my first job largely supported my newfound habit. The mornings after each intoxicated evening, mainly weekends, I would wake up with a pounding headache, an irritable demeanor, sleep exhaustion, horrible breath, body odor, smelly clothes, and etc. In the misery of those moments, I would think to myself, this needs to stop. Yet, I turned back again and again and again and again and again throughout the years, following me into marriage and fatherhood. By and large, in our marriage, the drinking had slowed considerably, but I still drank steadily. After work, on weekends, when friends came over, there was a desire by this point in life to be free from the bondage, mainly for financial reasons, but the peer pressure to fit in with my friends was great. I had begun reading my Bible daily, and slowly but surely, the Word of God began to have effects on my life. And yes, that included my alcohol habit. I could no longer not be guilty when I had a drink. So I got rid of 95% of my stock, thinking that would help my guilt. But I kept one bottle of Captain Morgan in a secret hiding place in the closet. I stopped drinking regularly, only drinking occasionally, and even speaking out against it publicly. I thought this would appease God, because surely God doesn't think just one drink is a sin. After all, Jesus turned water into wine, right? I understand now I felt this way because my heart still secretly enjoyed those sinful desires. One evening, as I sat reading my Bible before bed, I came across Proverbs 23. The very moment I read from verses 29 to 35, God opened my eyes and allowed me to see myself. These verses compare the sting of alcohol to the bite of a poisonous snake, which will make a man to lust after other women and speak perverse things. I saw very clearly that evening that no matter how I tried to twist what I read, I was exactly what those verses describe. No matter how I looked at it, drinking alcohol filled my lustful eyes, similar to gasoline being poured onto a fire. With my heart pounding in fear and trembling at what I had read, I immediately rose to my feet and went to the hiding place. I grabbed the bottle of Captain Morgan and showed it to my wife. We renounced it in the name of Jesus, and I poured it down the drain before discarding the bottle in the trash. I praise God today for opening my eyes and showing me how He sees the sinful nature that is associated with alcohol. I give God the glory for delivering me from this bondage. Without Him, I was a walking blind man. As you read this proverb, do you ponder why the writer would refer to a serpent, the cunning beast that the devil used to deceive Eve, now writhingly slithers into the heart of humanity, deceiving them with, "Oh, it's okay, Jesus turned water into wine." My friend, how similar does this sound to the deception offered to Eve? "Ye shall surely not die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be open." Genesis 3, verses 4 and 5. I have a question I would like you to ponder as you consider yourself before the judgment seat of God after this life is past. Are you willing to allow a fleshly desire to determine your eternal destiny? 1 Corinthians 15:50 is very clear. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. I do understand this means more than alcohol. This means our sinful flesh must be crucified, and we must have a new birth that replaces the carnal desires of our old heart with a newfound desire to serve God. Here is what the Word of God says about this subject. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Isaiah 28, verse 7. But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine, and they are out of the way. Through strong drink, they err in vision, they stumble in judgment. Habakkuk 2, verse 15. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. John 3, verse 3 and 5 through 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. I trust that you find this to be an encouragement, and if it brings any conviction to you, I encourage you to repent and give your heart to God.